Our church has been dry, and I long for this. I've asked God this week why we've been so dry. And I'm trying to keep myself right. Philippians 4, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and I beseech Tyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. He said, I don't want nobody divided. Listen to me. Look up here. Things tonight that's going on that won't matter in 100 years,
amen,
let it go.
Amen.
Let it go. He said, I beseech that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Boy, I'm glad I'm yoked up with some men here tonight.
Amen.
Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Thank God for ladies. Thank God for women that have a heart for ministry.
Amen.
A lot of folks talking about ladies' churches. Not many men left. Thank God for ladies that have a heart for ministry. So they labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names ought to run out of the window and dive out, who are in the book of life. My God, I'm not going to hell tonight. That means a lot to this country boy. Rejoice in the Lord. My God, you know where he's writing from? He's chained between two Roman soldiers and he's writing this epistle back to the home church. He's telling them, I want y'all to shout. I want you to rejoice in the Lord, not when I'm loose out of here, but always. And again, I say, rejoice. Thank you for standing tonight. He said, let your moderation, that's gentleness, that's a meekness, that's a preferring one another before yourself. You know, you ever notice how much the Bible talks about us preferring one another before ourselves? You know, I think a lot of times if I wouldn't think so much of myself, I wouldn't get hurt so easy. Let your moderation be known, your gentleness and meekness unto all men, that the Lord is at hand. Be careful. That word's worry. For nothing. But in everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. What I was hunting in a sack of weed, this passes it, leaps and bounds tonight. What some of you hunting in a bottle, ain't nothing like this. And the peace of God, look there, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Father, tonight help us in this short time. Would you let us be a blessing to your people tonight? Move and help us. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to deal with just a few thoughts right there on verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That word is worry. Do you ever worry? I'm afraid that sometimes I get beyond concerned and start worrying. I think it's okay to be concerned. I think it's okay to be aware. But I believe it is a sin to worry. He says, and be careful for nothing. Worry for a child of God says that God's dead. And if He is alive, then He's incapable of doing anything with my situation. When we cease to trust the Lord, then it is sin. Now, he says something all in verse 6. Notice he says a word about problems. He said, be careful for nothing. That word nothing. In other words, he said, problems is going to come. You believe that tonight? I talk to young men a lot. And they say, I can't believe the hard time I'm having. Well, it ain't no sense in hunting trouble, honey. Trouble's going to hunt you down. And so I've got this figured out. If I'll stay in the straight and narrow and keep my head and heart in this book, my backside in this church, then I won't near have the problems that I can have out yonder. Because no matter how bad it looks in here tonight, it's better than what they're going through out yonder. And it ain't no sense in me in getting out of the will and the way of God. No use in me walking in the flesh in this world looking for problems, because problems is going to find me problems enough. I don't know about y'all, but I have enough problems living for Jesus. And I sure, Lord, don't want no more out yonder hunting none up like a coon dog. And so he said, let ye moderation be known to all men and be careful for nothing. Now, in other words, he says, he wouldn't have said that if he wouldn't have had some things to be concerned about. Let me tell you, just because you love Jesus now, just because you're caring about him, just because you're saved, don't mean you won't have problems. Because you write it down, you're going to have problems. But thank God you got a church you can go to and get around an altar and pray to a God in heaven that can do something about your problem. Everybody you talk to about your problem can't help your problem. But He can change your problem. A word about problems. It's a caution to observe. Now, problems is going to find us as long as we are in this world. Troubles and trials are real. Job 14, verse number 1. Job 14 and verse number 1. Look about trouble, problems. Man that is born of woman, he's of few days and he's full of trouble. You'd think surely if a man was walking in the precepts of this Bible, that he just wouldn't have no trouble. But it don't work that way. He says, our days is full of trouble. Then in verse 5, he said, our days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. And I believe with all my heart the Bible's true tonight. Out yonder on the calendar, you've got a date on that calendar. When you're fixing to meet God, you hear this country preacher tonight? There's a date on the calendar, I'm going to meet God. And every breathing machine in America can't keep me from that date. Now, I believe I can push my time to that calendar. But I can tell you one thing, my calendar's done numbered because God knows everything I'll ever do will be where I'll go, what I'll think, do, say, or write. My days on that couch. And I wonder if I push them days ahead. The Bible said, children, obey you, your parents and the Lord, for this is right. That what? That you may live long days. So you can take it ever what it's worth tonight, but I can tell you this, by the authority of the Word of God, there's a place on a calendar circled. We're going to meet God. We're going to meet Him individually. And we're going to give an account of what we've done in this body, whether it's been good, whether we've been bad. And if we've been saved by the blood of Jesus, not if we've been religious, not if we've gone to church, not if we've joined a church, not if we've been baptized, but if we've been born again, He said, you must be born again. He said, it's no option about this. You must be born again. This old nature can't inherit heaven. You have to have a new nature, God nature. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his tonight. You must be born again. If you're saved, you'll go to heaven and live with the Lord Jesus while the ages roll on. If you stand there behind Him, hell will be your home. It's no waiting place, no timeout policies. You're going to be in hell, weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to burn where the worm dies. You're going to burn in an unquenchable fire. I got burnt this week from my knee to my ankle with hot radiator. And I'm going to tell you what, it was amazing how undignified you can get in a pine patch. Thank God I ain't got to go to hell in my sins. Thank God I don't have to go to hell. You say, preacher, that's old news. I don't care, the man that died and went to hell a while ago. He could come back to this church and hit an altar and call upon Christ to save him from his sins. I wish Sunday morning God would let a man walk out of hell and preach us a message. Word about problems. It's out there in front of us. A caution to observe. And then it's a command to obey. When it comes to worrying over problems that we face, God has one word to say about it. Look back in that text of what He says. Be careful for nothing, or worry for nothing. Now, we're not to worry about a thing. What is worry? Worry refers to a troubled state of mind resulting from a concern about a current or a potential difficulty. It comes from an old English word of strangle. And buddy, I've never got let nothing get a hold of me no more than worry that strangles me down. Worry will absolutely shut you down. Worry is the interest paid on trouble before it's due. Lord Jesus, I've paid some of that. Worry is the interest paid on trouble before it's due. Worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. Worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. I heard one woman say, honey, how you doing? She said, well, I'm having a real good day, but I can't rejoice in it because I know I'm going to have a bad day. That's the kind of attitude we have. Thank God, elect and redeemed of the Lord say so. We ought to be the happiest children in America tonight. We've got a God that's on the throne. Oh, we're not to worry over anything. Worry gives a small thing a big shadow. Heard my daddy tell my mama 100 times, I guess, maybe more. Christine, 98.5% of the things you worry about don't never come to pass. My mama was a worry wart. And I got them traits through that bloodline I got. Some of you got traits too, I can tell by looking at you. Amen. Some of them traits you got I ain't real proud of neither. Boy, this thing of worry will bog you down. Why is worry a sin? Why'd I say that? In Romans 14, verse 17, watch your Bible tonight. Romans 14 and 17. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you the reason you can't shout tonight, you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. The only way you're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost is getting this book, getting your altar, and have a ongoing fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable. And he says to God and approved to men, lest therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. If it offends you, brother, in front of him, you ought to not do it. Amen. If it offends him, don't do it. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Here it is. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I better underline that verse tonight. Well, several good reasons not to worry tonight. Number one, God knows what you face. You ever think about God don't know where I'm at? You ever think about God, do you really see what's going on in my life? In Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, we see that God knows what we face. A lot of times we wonder, well, why did this happen? What's going on? Where's God? We said in Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Verse 1, so good I can't miss it. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Let it go. Take the wood off the fire. You want to have the last word? Say you're sorry. And it'll help you. But you'll notice here the eyes of the Lord, they're in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees us right now. He sees us. Look up there. He sees you tonight. Praise. He loves for you to wave at Him. Praise God. He sees where we are. His eyes are in every place. Ain't you glad the devil can't do that? God is omniscient. He knows everything. God's omnipresent. He's every place at one time. God's omnipotent. He's all power tonight. The devil's not even in that category. We've got a God that knows what we face. Job 23 and 10. My goodness, if you ever go through trials and sufferings, y'all read the book of Job. He'll make you feel better. Job 23 and verse number 10. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, the refiner uses fire to purify his gold. And I've noticed when fire comes, it sure does help us and it gets our attention, don't it? You ever just been walking along, chewing bubble gum, just minding your own business, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, it fell on you? Out of nowhere, the phone rung and fire fell. You know what God's doing? God's trying His gold. He's purifying things. Boy, He says He knows the way that I take. Psalms 37 and verse number 23. Psalms 37, verse number 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. David said, look here, boys, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Now you may fall, and I've been knocked down, but thank God in heaven I ain't been knocked out. I've seen stars a few times. But the Lord's let me get back up. And don't you think for one minute if you're going to stand for right and try to do right, the devil ain't going to try to knock you down. When he knocks you down, get up, dust your britches off, and go on for the glory of God. Say, thank you, Lord, you let me get back up. I've seen some boys in fight that they couldn't get up. Amen. We ain't playing tap out. Lord God, I'd be trying to reach and tap something, get him to quit. Worry's a sin. Several good reasons not to worry. Well, God knows what we face. And then, I want to say God cares about what we face. You believe that? You know, a lot of people wonder, well, if God loved me, why has He allowed this to happen to me? For your good. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Why would God allow things to happen to me that He's allowed to happen for my good? I've been knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. Fire's put on me, but it's made the gold a little better. Made me a better Christian, made me pray more, made me get my book more, made me love my family, appreciate my family more. One of our young'uns in this church that I preached to off a high chair had a wreck. He could be out in eternity tonight, but by the grace of God, God spared that boy Monday morning. And so I just thank Him for that. I'm old enough in the Lord to know, honey, you don't take nothing for granted. Life is short and eternity's certain tonight. You better wake up, get yourself saved. I've been called out at more than one that was took into eternity and didn't know it was their time. I'm in an awful business. God cares what we face. 1 Peter 5 and 7. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Somebody said I was one of the nicest men they ever met in person, but preaching one of the meanest they've ever heard. I'm in a battle. This ain't play day. This is real deal what I'm talking about in this pulpit. Get out, Johnny. We'll chew the fat and we'll arm wrestle and we'll have a good time. But, honey, this is serious business down Liberty Baptist Church. God cares about what we face. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care on Him. Look at that. For He careth for you. In other words, He's a seeing about you and you don't even know about it. Careth. I wish I'd have studied English a little better. Wish I know these verbs and adverbs and adjectives and all these nice things that Mama told me if I'd apply myself, that'd help me down the road. I couldn't see it then. I can see it now. I was worried about the bell ringing, getting out, going coon hunting, rabbit hunting. Things that was important. But I can tell you what, honey, that carries a meaning tonight to let me know there's a God looking about me when I sleep and when I get up in the morning, when I ride down the road and when I come up the steps of Liberty Baptist Church. There's a God in heaven that's sovereign tonight that sees about His children. Glory to God. He careth for you. Thank God He ain't out of the caring business. He cares about what we face. And then, I tell you another reason not to worry. Not only does He care about what we face and He sees what we're doing, but He's promised to take care of us. You know that? Philippians 4 and 19. Look over there tonight in Philippians 4 and 19. I sure am glad that I found that in my Bible. You ought to underline it. What a great verse. He said, "But my God," not Buddha, not Confucius. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory." I told a family tonight, they said, "Pastor, how come America is going to the dogs? How come people don't believe in God? How come they don't go to church?" I can tell you why, because they're too blessed. I've seen people living in lean to. You listen to me. I've raised bird dogs that lived in nicer boxes than what I've seen people raising families in. And we're so blessed. And God said, "I shall supply all your needs." Now watch this. Not only does it supply about our needs, most every one of us has got all our wants. You don't need 3 cars. You don't need 2 cars. You don't need 12 suits. You don't need 15 pocketbooks. Y'all look like a hall tree walking in the church. Ain't that right? God not only sees about our needs, He gives us our wants so many times. How many shotguns can I shoot at one time? That's different than y'all's pocketbooks. Say amen, boys. You henpecked anyhow. Amen. Boy, ain't we blessed. We some kind of blessed youngins. So He's promised to take care of us. "But my God shall supply all your needs." Now, I've got some wants that I ain't got. But I don't reckon I got a need tonight that ain't met. And if you'll just stay with God, and if you'll serve this God of the Bible, you won't have no needs don't get met either. Because He takes care of His young'uns. Did you know, have you figured this out yet? You don't never lose your young'uns. You just gain young'uns when they marry. Have y'all noticed that yet? I used to feed two on Sunday. Now I've got five. And thank God, I'd run from here to Birmingham, Brother Randy, saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It means something for me to sit around the table with sons-in-laws and children and grand. Means more than anything in my life right now. Buddy, that's the real deal. And I said all that to say, do you think for one second, that little old grandbaby right now, she's just now starting to say, pop. Lord God, my heart goes crazy. She pull in the driveway on the golf cart, she'll say, pop. I told her, I said, honey, it's going to be awful when she starts telling us what she needs. Now, we love our young'uns. Do you really think your God's going to let you go without anything that you really need? I remember one time my dad, I was crazy. I was 16 years old. I went in a car lot and I got a jacked up redneck 1973 Ford. You need a step ladder to get in that thing. I mean, it rode like a mule and wagon. And you know, every car dealer says, take it home, see how you like it. Amen? Yeah. Brother Dennis ain't here. You can say amen tonight. I took that thing home. Daddy said, what in the world is in the yard? I said, Dad, that's that truck I need you to sign for. I said, I got a job, but I ain't got no credit. He said, well, you ain't getting that truck. He said, son, you know how many miles a gallon that thing get? He said, you think them big tires on the front of that thing is running for nothing? You think them ball joints is going to last 10,000 miles? Do you think them brakes? Boy, have you lost your mind? That's what he said. Have you lost your mind? I wanted that truck, man. I want all my redneck friends. We had a Shoney's. Man, you'd ride around in your ride. You know, nobody cares what they lived in, but everybody's seen you in your ride. I mean, your ride was worth a whole lot more than your crib, amen? I mean, you got to have bling bling on your ride. You got to have that thing doing it. Man, we'd go around Shoney's, them speed bumps, we'd stop them. The window's down, you know. We was some kind. I was just seeing myself looking down at all them ordering boxes out of that big jacked up redneck truck. Broke my heart I didn't get that truck. I mean, I remembered it so. Brother Randall, I thought about it yesterday. Daddy didn't let me have that truck. But you know what? Daddy knowed best. No telling what Daddy saved me. Because I'd been in places with that old jacked up truck I didn't need to be. Lord, I wonder how much Daddy has kept me from that I don't even know about tonight. God, I want a motorcycle so bad. If I could just, Brother Rodney, if I could just have a 100th anniversary Harley. Jonathan McNeese can have one. Jamie Rollins can have one. They love God. All I have is my little scooter. But I wonder, Boy, Renee got me the other day. Brother Felton, he in here, you know, he's always trading on something. He got a little 125 thing, looked big, nice. I come home, he parked that thing on my car porch, had a helmet and a key in the back. Walked in church, and they said, "What's that?" I said, "Hon, I don't know. Man, I cranked that thing, went around the block, and come back home. She said, "You think God's changed about that?" I wonder what He keeps us from. We don't even know. I wonder how big, Brother Tim, our wants would get us in trouble. You know, one time I wanted to be vice president at Buffalo Rock, Birmingham. I wanted that corner office. Had my sights on, but I was headed there. But I wouldn't have what I got tonight. Lord God, I'm in the family. Why should I worry about a thing? Oh, Lord. Why should I worry? Miss Sherry, somebody. I'm drunk right now. Come play me something. Come thank Him. What He's doing, you don't even know about. He said, "Ask, knock, you shall find." He said, "Cast all your care on Him." You know why? He'd care for you. You ought to thank Him.